It's 6 o'clock Monday night and time to kick off Super Scoreboard on Clyde One.
Celtic's lead at the top is back to 6 points as they draw Ross County in the League Cup semi, and Rangers maintain their 5-point advantage over Hibs in the Championship as the Easter Road side get St Johnstone in their semi-final. It's time to have your say. Yes, welcome along to Monday's Super Scoreboard with me, Jerry McCulloch. Also tonight, Rangers issue a statement on the EBT issue, saying it's time for Scottish football to just move on. Celtic say fans who booed during the minute's silence are not welcome at the club. And John Collins insists there is no rift between himself and Chris Commons. Plenty to get through in the company of Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. You can either give us a call, 0141 951 1025, and put your points to the guys, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. This was another interesting week and another interesting weekend in Scottish football, Mr. Keevans.
Well, Ross County drawing Celtic in the semi-final of the League Cup today, just what they do not need, because Celtic go to Dingwall minus the captain, Scott Brown, minus the best player, Chris Commons, minus the discovery of the season, Kieran Tierney, and still wipe the floor with them 4-1, even though Ronnie Dyla says they're just about out on their feet. So you're hardly encouraged if you're Billy Dodds or Jim McIntyre by drawing Celtic in the semi-final. Hibs St Johnstone, the other semi, I said on Friday, I stand by it. I think most people would like to see a Celtic-Hibs final. Sorry, Tommy.
Would you go along with that, Derek? I mean, there's four good teams left in the tournament. There's no doubt about that.
I think the only certainty for me is Celtic will beat Ross County. I think they showed that yesterday.
It's at Hampden as well.
They're just a far, far better side. You know, that's, and again, that's no disrespect to Ross County, but you would expect Celtic to get through. The other one, you can toss the coin, because St Johnstone have shown, you know, on a few occasions this season, they battered Rangers, they battered Aberdeen at Pittodrie. You know, they are a good side when everybody's firing in all cylinders, but so are Hibs. I think Hibs proved that again on Saturday. He went a goal down and within 2 minutes they're back. 3-1 up at half time. Eventually win the game 4-1. So that's one you can toss a coin on, the Hibs St Johnstone.
Talking of tossing coins, we tossed a coin before we came on air for Beat the Pundit.
And tell him what happened.
Hugh Keevans won the toss
and bottled it. Give it to me.
He's always doing that, isn't he?
Disgraceful.
Got his own back, I think, is the expression you're looking for.
Derek Johnson then playing Beat the Pundit at 7 o'clock. We're here taking your calls through till just before 8. Here's Willie in Cumnock. Hi, Willie.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, Willie.
Lovely day again, isn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful. I was at the garden sunbathing.
Aye, I got up at my bed and found out my shift was cancelled, so I've been keen tonight, but never mind. Just to see, how you doing, Derek?
I'm fine, Willie.
Just to see what you thought. I mean, I know we played well in Wycombe's movement, blah, 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 Nicky Clark scored the winner, but the finishing is pretty poor, Derek.
Yeah.
Wycombe could have had 4 or 5 with Sale on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm being a bit greedy, I don't know. Now, they only had 2 runs up the park, and the boy nearly scored. They hit the bar.
Chopper should have scored. Yeah.
Taverner missed an absolute sitter at the start, although his free kick was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it really is brilliant at a dead ball situation.
Yeah.
Something that Fraser Earp should have a look at. But anyway, I don't know what the story is with Ryan Harvey. I know he signed a new 2-year contract, Derek.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he maybe played in the youth game on Friday night or something like that, or he was maybe injured, but I would like to see the boy getting game time. I know Nicky Clark scored the winner, and it was a brilliant header. He got up really well. But Wycombe needs somebody like a Harvey, or even a Boyd, or a Daly, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I think they would score goals for fun, or even yourself in your day, Eric. What do you think?
Even now, what do you think?
Mm. Aye, definitely.
Not so much.
Aye, okay, fair
not
enough.
Not so much. I was interested to hear Danny Lennon. He said NASA couldn't track Martin Wycombe.
Yeah.
That was a good part of it.
But you're right, he could have had 5 goals easily, and we're talking about 5 pinches. You know, he's missed a couple of real sitters. But at the end of the day, and I said it before, and I got a bit of stick for it, when I said Martin Wycombe has never been a natural goal scorer. If you look at his record down south, you know, he was never a real centre-forward. But since he's come to Rangers, I mean, he's looked the part. Whether he's playing through the middle or he's playing wide on the right and cuts inside, he's just been absolutely outstanding this season. But, you know, it's already Rangers scoring goals against Al, is when you're playing the better sides and you create these chances, you've got to stick them away.
Well, let's...
because if you don't do that, then you know you're not going to win games. I think they proved that against Hibs last weekend.
Well,
I think they created enough chances, just didn't take enough of them.
Well, I want your thoughts on this. Let's hear from Martin Wycombe then, because he says he's certain that Hibs won't catch Rangers at the top of the Championship because they're better than them. The strikers scored twice, as you said, as the Ibrox side got back to winning ways against Alloa on Saturday, but Alan Stubbs' men kept up the pressure with that win at St Mirren. Wycombe says none of them are worried.
I'm not really bothered, to be honest. Like I say, it's more about us, and I know that we'll win the majority of the games that we're playing. If we keep doing that, we're going to win the league. So, like I say, Hibs cut over for an off day last week, and credit to them, but like I say, we're a better side than them. We're showing that in the league, 11 out of 12 out of 13, I think now, is it? So we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, and like you say, they can try and catch us, but it's up to us, and if we play the way we do, we're going to be all right.
Rangers defeat at Hibs last weekend saw the gap narrow to 5 points. Wycombe believes the loss has made them stronger.
I think it just made us focus a bit more. It's not as though we're switched off or anything like that. I just think it's a setback, but the best way to come back from that is a performance like that today, and the boys done fantastically well in how we dealt with it all week, and they've been having the digs, they've been saying what they want in the paper, and it was just important to us that we bounced back in the right way and showed the quality on the pitch more than in the paper. So I think the boys done fantastically well, handled it great, and real good performance.
So Martin Wycombe thinks Rangers are the best team and can't be caught, but it seems that Hibs forward James Keatings has other ideas.
It's his own opinion. I've got my own opinion. I believe my squad's a better squad than theirs as well, and obviously they're downright favourites to win this league. They have been, and that's just the way it is, and we'll continue doing our thing and see what it takes us.
Are these the type of comments that give you a little extra incentive for
them? Oh, we just want to concentrate on our own game. Obviously they want to say what they're going to say, and we'll stick to our own game plan, and the manager will have his stuff done on the training field, and we'll take it onto the pitch.
It's all blah, blah, blah. and I include myself in the blah, blah, blah. I've said that Rangers will win the league by 15 points.
Blah, blah, blah.
I will stand by that. And like James Keatings and Martin Wycombe, I will have to wait until the end of the season to see how it all pans out. But it's good fun. Rangers score 4 at the weekend. St Mirren lose 4 to Hibs. The games between Hibs and Rangers and Hibs will be very exciting.
It'll be important
as well.
Have
a factor.
Yeah, absolutely.
But blah, blah, blah.
To get back to what William was saying about Ryan Hardy, I think you're right. He signed a new 2-year deal. I've watched him a couple of times in the development team. I watched a game against Hibs at Murray Park, and he scored 2 fantastic goals, just looked apart. You know, he's a tall lad, he's 6 feet. He's not the strongest. You know, he's about 6 feet and about 8 stone, soaking wet. You know, but he gets about the pitch, he's got a bit of pace, and I think you're right, William, I'd love to see him get a game. If he doesn't start a game, then give him half an hour, maybe not 5 and 10 minutes at the end of games when, you know, you're 3 or 4 goals up. I'd love to see him get a chance. I think you're right.
He's definitely right.
He's definitely
right. Nothing
more
to say.
Willie, thanks very much for your call. That was Willie and Cumnock while we're on the subject of Rangers. The club's issued a statement today relating to the Court of Session EBT ruling. It says it would be remiss of the Rangers board not to state the club's views. It goes on to say the first thing to be said is that Rangers has made it clear it wishes to reach out and work with all clubs to help revitalise Scottish football, which has also suffered in recent years. There is much to be done, and Rangers wants to be part of the way forward. Our game has to become more attractive to potential sponsors and partners if the finance levels required are to be generated, but this can only be done if we present a coherent and united strategy. Therefore, a line must be drawn now if we are all to prosper. It is our irrevocable belief that the club's history, including its many successes, is beyond debate. Rangers cannot countenance or accept any talk, attempts or actions designed to undermine what this club has achieved throughout its long history. So as far as this club is concerned, there is no need for further SPFL consideration of court judgments or appeals. They should be saying it's time for everyone to move on and work together for the greater good of the game. Scottish football has suffered enough. Rangers there, Hugh, telling the SPFL what they should be saying.
Well, the statement, in other words, is there's nothing to see here, move along. But I'm afraid that's high-handed language, and it lacks any conciliatory tone whatsoever, and I don't think that's good enough. You don't just say the SPFL should be doing this and it's time to draw a line and move on. These are serious matters. In the wake of the judgment from Lord Drummond Young on what's known as the Biggs big tax case. So you can't not just dismiss it with a wave of your hand like that. The SPFL have some very, very, very serious things to discuss here, because there is, as you well know, a growing clamour for Rangers to be stripped of titles. In the terms of the high-handed language, I would just say that it is possible to discuss this matter of whether or not Rangers should be stripped of titles without having your honesty called into question. The general feeling seems to be, if you don't go along with the idea that Rangers should be stripped of their titles, then you're somehow dishonest. No, you are simply waiting for a lead to be taken by the game's ruling body.
Do you think Rangers are sweeping it aside like that?
But it's strange. You know, when they won the first two verdicts, we never heard the thing. Everybody just went, oh, well, that's it. It's gone now. They've won the case. And all of a sudden, the third one comes along and it's won. Then all of a sudden, the rocks are lifted up and everybody comes out again and want Rangers slaughtered. I said on Friday, and remember, the Rangers still have the right of appeal. It's not Rangers, I beg your pardon. BDO or David Murray have the right to appeal this. And I think they will appeal it. Yeah. So we can talk all we want about it. This goes back to court and Rangers and BDO win it again, then there's nothing to say. Yeah, we're all jumping on the bandwagon here.
It's fair to say,
I understand that, but I understand that. And the Supreme Court, it could take a year for the Supreme Court to deliver a judgment if BDO appeal the latest ruling within a 28-day period. I would fully understand that. But in the meantime, I think Rangers' statement tonight is high-handed and lacks any conciliatory tone.
You mentioned conciliatory tone. Do you mean something along these lines? This is an interview that Dave King gave back in 2012 after the Walter Smith Consortium decided not to follow through with trying to buy Rangers. And it was on the EBT case, and Dave King, the current Rangers chairman, says, I think somebody needs to apologise. Clearly, that is not for Charles Green to do, but I am happy to say that I really believe we should be saying sorry, and I think there is something to be sorry about. And as a former director, when these things were going on, I am minded to do so. With regards to EBTs, I was on the board, so I have to take some responsibility, and I follow the logic of the argument that if we lose the tax case, then we probably gained some competitive advantage.
Yeah, so you can't...
That's the current Rangers chairman.
Yes, so you cannot say one thing a couple of years ago and issue a statement on behalf of the club saying entirely the opposite. As I say, it's a very, very serious matter, and it can't be summed up by saying there's nothing to see here, move on. The SPFL now have to take a lead in this matter.
Well, Derek's right, though, because we're kind of in limbo at the moment, and it's true to say that if an appeal is lodged, then we kind of the debate kind of goes away as far as we're concerned for another year or so. Well, I think they ask for leave of appeal within 28 days, and if it's denied, they can go straight to the Supreme Court another 28 days.
But
anyway,
at the end of the day, though, Jerry, there's no point in the SPFL going to bed tonight saying, oh, please, I hope the appeal, we can kick it into the long grass for a year. Ultimately, one day, somebody somewhere is going to have to make a ruling on this.
But by the same token, while an appeal can still be lodged, it would be unwise of the SPFL to come out make any judgment on
anybody
it.
Anybody to come out,
Here's Colin in Easterhouse. Hi, Colin.
How you doing, Jerry? All right. How you doing, DJ?
Hi, Colin.
I've got 2 points. Jerry, I've got one point about the statement that you just read. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I'm a Rangers fan, by the way. There's a wee thinly veiled threat in that statement, and I love the way it was worded, to be honest with you. The whole way through the statement, I read it on Twitter with you as well, and I was like, well done. I just get the impression that Rangers are saying to everybody, listen, calm down, it's not 2012 anymore, it's 2015. And if we get any problems, you can eat what you sow when we get back up next year and you're away. Your grins when Rangers play away will be rather empty. Don't know what you think of that.
Well, I mean, if you're going to start threatening people in that fashion, you know, I take it by that you mean that the Rangers supporters will say, if anything is done against us, then we will not go to away matches and we'll bring the game to its knees as best we can. Is that what you mean?
Because there's still a lot of bad feeling towards it all, because, see, amongst everything that was said, I just felt, as a Rangers supporter, I just feel as if we've all been tarred with the same brush. I've worked since the DLS school, I've paid my taxes, you know, but nobody ever turns around and says, not the supporters, by the way, This is the old board at Rangers that made the mistake. Do you know what I mean? We're all tarred with the same brush, and there's a bad taste in the mouth. There really is.
Well, I go back to the statement which Jerry has just read out, made some time ago by Dave King, and you know, he's quite content that there is an apology due, an apology should be given. So, having said that, I don't know how we then arrive at a situation where those who follow the club say, but if anything's done to us, then we will boycott games.
But fans have got every right to. I mean,
yeah, I think that might happen anyway. You, no matter what happens, if Rangers go into the Premiership next season, I think you will get a lot of them will say, well, there's certain clubs that they know had it in for Rangers, and I will be very surprised if they take up their allocation.
Would you support that?
If Rangers go up,
would you support that?
Nothing to do with me.
No, I know, but would you support it?
Every supporter has a right to go and follow the team.
But would you support it if they did?
Well, why not?
But this language,
if that is the case, why not?
This language, though, some clubs had it in for Rangers.
Well, they did.
Who? Why?
Well, Hibs had it in. Aberdeen had it in. Dundee United had it. They were all very, very strong when they came out against Rangers.
But being strong coming out doesn't equate that they had it in for them.
But all the other people, all the other clubs didn't say a dickie. It was the same three or four chairmen or whoever was in charge of these clubs that came out and said the same things.
Thanks for your call, Colin. More of this to come, no doubt. They give us a call, 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the home of football in Glasgow and the West. Be part of the debate. Call now, 01419511025. With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team.
Welcome along to Monday's Super Scoreboard. It's fast approaching 25 past six. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are in this cupboard.
Well, I'm a tall boy.
With me, Jerry McCulloch, taking your calls, 01419511025. Sometimes I feel as if we're in a broom cupboard here. It's a bit like that, isn't it?
It's a nice broom cupboard.
It's a nice broom cupboard, yes. Here's Jimmy in Lennoxtown. Hi, Jimmy.
Evening, lads.
You all right?
Hi.
Jerry, I've got 2 points, if you allow me to make them. One is about our supporters yesterday, and the other is about the EBTs. Mm-hmm. That'll be very brief, by the way.
Mm-hmm. What will the first one not be?
Well, the first one, I was so ashamed yesterday of those fans. Every game they play in a case like this, Remembrance Day, they embarrass us. Now, I went a couple of years ago to a board grave in France to see the grave of a relative of mine who died in the First World War, who in fact was an Irishman. And just behind his row of graves, there was a whole row, maybe 15, 20, all young Irishmen from the Dublin Regiment all died. And I suggest that these people should go and have a wee bit of thought for these people who gave their lives for the people around today. Shouting all these obscenities and all the rest of it. They're an absolute disgrace to my club.
Well, let me tell you what Celtic have said today. Jimmy, I don't know if you've heard this. Celtic have said the silence was impeccably observed by the overwhelming majority of our fans, as it always is. Clearly, we are disappointed that a handful of individuals have chosen to embarrass the club and our supporters in this way. These individuals are not welcome at Celtic.
Jerry, they keep saying it's a handful. It's not a handful at all. It was so audible over the radio yesterday, which normally they try to drown it out, you know, but they just couldn't yesterday.
Jimmy, even if it was one Celtic supporter, it would have been one too many.
That's right, Hugh.
Anyone who boos that minute silence on Remembrance Sunday is despicable, in my estimation. But I don't know what Celtic can do, because they, I think, if memory serves correctly, donated £10,000 to the Poppy Appeal. They annually contribute to the Poppy Appeal. They wear the Poppy on the Celtic jersey, which at one time used to annoy the supporters.
I don't think they did.
Well, they have done in the past.
Yeah.
But that at one time would have offended some Celtic supporters. So the club are trying to distance themselves from this tired old image that some of their supporters would like them to maintain, and they are contributing financially to the Poppy Appeal. They are annually embarrassed but not by the majority, far from the majority, and they will simply have to keep on going, explaining how embarrassed they are by the misguided.
Because this game went out all over Britain, Hugh, probably all over Europe. You know, that game, anything that goes on Sky, it goes out, and everybody can hear what's going on. You know, and you're right, it's, you know, by far the biggest majority of Celtic fans will be quiet and give them a minute's silence, which is wonderful. But there are some of these Celtic fans that do that, and it is embarrassing for the club. And Celtic say the same thing after it happens every year. We don't want them. It's all lip service. There's nothing ever done about it. All the major football clubs in Britain have a poppy on their shirt for that one game. For that one game, all the major clubs, everybody bar Celtic. If Celtic were bothering about that, why not just put the poppy on
their
shirt?
Is it just me, or have Celtic not had the poppy on the shirt
before?
But
they haven't had it for a couple of years, Hugh. They didn't have it on at the weekend.
Well, when you say that they should do something, what would you suggest they do?
Well, at least they're showing the people, no, we are looking after everybody, and we really feel, you know, for all the people that lost their lives and everything, we will wear a poppy on our jersey, and that shows that every Celtic fan.
I recall the photograph. The photograph of Lee Griffiths holding a very large poppy as Celtic were donating £10,000 to the poppy appeal.
Yeah, that's great handing in money, Hugh. That's wonderful. But why not have it on the shirt like everyone else, like every other club's done this weekend? I don't know if there is a reason for that, why they don't do it. I have no idea. And you're right, they do give £10,000, which is absolutely wonderful. But why not put the poppy on the shirt?
I think it's a bit unfair to suggest that Celtic are going out of their way not to be to be represented with a poppy, because they do.
What I've said is, you know, 98-99% of Celtic fans would stand still and be quiet for a minute, but there is that element that won't. So you're going to pander to the 2% or whatever.
They're not pandering to them. They are simply declaring their embarrassment. But how do you find out who the however many supporters were at Dingwall yesterday?
Well, Celtic give out the tickets. They didn't have all that many tickets. What, did they get 1,000 tickets for Dingwall? So it's Celtic that hand out the tickets to these.
But how
Celtic
do you know where they were? How do you know where they were sitting?
Well, there's cameras at every game. Surely goodness, the police are at every game. The cameras are on the crowd every game. You can see who it is.
Well, as I say, I think that it's an annual source of embarrassment to Celtic, but the vast majority of Celtic supporters have no problem with Celtic having a poppy on their jersey, and perhaps then that's where the club could take a significant step forward next year by having one on the jersey.
Jimmy, what was your other point then?
About the EBTs, Jerry.
Yes.
To me, Rangers are a new club. They became a new club the day they went into liquidation. Up until then, any trophies that Rangers won are theirs and nobody else's. You know, the Celtic fans, my fellow Celtic fans, can rattle on all they want. Rangers won these things. It was the players that won it, not the board or whoever it was that gave out the EBTs. And I reckon that up until the day that Rangers went into liquidation, they should keep the trophies that they'd already won.
Well, Dave King, to go back to the statement that Jerry read, he says, I follow the logic of the argument that if we lose the tax case, then we probably gained some competitive advantage. Now, those were the words of Dave King a couple of years ago. I would imagine that how you felt a couple of years ago is still the way you would feel. But, Jimmy, my point on this matter is, yes, I agree they achieved a sporting advantage insofar as players were enticed to Rangers or players were kept at Rangers because of the EBT system. But Rangers...
No, that's a bad thing to say, Hugh. How do you know they were enticed and stayed there because of the EBTs?
Well,
have you spoken to every one of the players?
Well,
and they've given you their answers, and that's why you can come out and say that.
No, I'm
You're surmising that,
obviously.
That might be the case.
Okay, then. I am surmising that players were enticed to Rangers or kept at Rangers because of the tremendous financial advantages. However, where I disagree with the stripping of titles, Rangers still had to win games on the park. And if you look at the example of Chelsea this season, the defending champions, with a squad that would be thought among the strongest in England, they're now in danger of relegation, never mind retaining the championship. So games of football still have to be won on the park, no matter how great a squad you have.
But the argument, though, is that those players perhaps shouldn't have been there and wouldn't have been there.
How do you know that, Jerry?
As I say, that there are two arguments here.
The evidence that was given to the first tier tribunal.
There are two arguments here, Jerry. One is my contention is, and Derek questions.
No, but just answer Derek's question. The evidence from Rangers' side that was given to the first tier tribunal was that EBT's allowed Rangers to buy players that they couldn't have been able to afford otherwise.
Who had said that? Who came out and said that? Was that not the Lord, whoever it was, that said that?
No, this was evidence given to the first tier tribunal.
That's what gets me. I mean, Lord Smith came out last week and said that, you know, the Rangers couldn't afford these players, you know, and so it was an unfair advantage. So, you know, it shouldn't be allowed. How does he know?
It was Lord Drummond Young who said that. It was Lord Nimble Smith who contradicted him
that's
in an earlier
the SPFL
summation.
SPFL called in the first place.
But anyway, I see this as a two-headed argument, or two-sided argument, rather. Yes, you get an advantage if you are able to bring players to the club or keep players at the club because you have this system in place which is financially beneficial to them. But on the other hand, games of football still have to be won on the park. And I cite Chelsea as my example.
So if you in your opinion think Rangers gained a competitive advantage, it surely must follow that you think that there should be some sort of punishment, but you don't agree it should be title stripping.
Well, as I say, the games of football that were played, the Rangers players were assembled at great financial advantage to them, but they still had to win games on the park. I do understand that there are many other issues. There are not just the Championship, Scottish Cup, League Cup, even relegation, you could argue, because Rangers are taking points off clubs. But these are all matters that took place on the park. And that's why I am reluctant to go for the stripping of titles, because Rangers still had to win them on the park. Even the best of squads, like Chelsea, can slip up.
I mean, one man that played for Celtic, he came out with a great statement the weekend, was Chris Sutton. See, I wouldn't want the medals, but they beat us fair and square on the park. It might not have been great how they got there or everything else. That doesn't matter. We played against them, 11 against 11, and they beat us fair and square. And that, to me, I go along with that 100%.
But if we are discussing this matter, and the whole country is discussing this matter, then it's not enough for Rangers to issue a statement saying, look, in our opinion, you should stop talking about this.
01419511025 if you've got an opinion on that. Thanks to Jimmy in Lennoxtown. Here's John in Partick. Hi, John.
I want to talk about football. Last Thursday, Celtic had a very poor performance. And yesterday's game was important that they got the result and they played well. And I thought Effie Ambrose and Stuart Armstrong were outstanding. And it was very, really, really important that they did this. Regarding the behaviour of some of our supporters, Irishmen are entitled to sing a soldier song. There's nothing in the soldier song saying God bless the Pope.
Worse Sorry, that, John, I failed to see. What point are you making here, John?
Well, the point I'm making is that these people should, they shouldn't do this. You know, they shouldn't do this. But worse than that, people making derogatory remarks about the Queen, to give her a proper title, Britannic Majesty the Queen. And that came over as well. And that's terrible. I mean, it really is absolutely terrible, and it's more than disappointing.
I'll tell you who I felt sorry for, John. I felt sorry for Ronnie Dyla, who, after the match, was asked for his observations on what had taken place. And he said, while he was personally disappointed that it had taken place, he said, I'm from Norway, I don't quite understand this. And I felt embarrassed for us as a country, because somebody would have to take Ronnie Dyla into a corner and say, well, here's what the problem is. Now, in the year 2015, on the cusp of 2016, for us still to be trapped in the dark ages with all of this stuff is embarrassing.
John came on and said he wanted to talk about the football, so let's do it. After misery against Molde, it was back to league business for Celtic yesterday. That 4-1 win against Ross County in Dingwall. Lee Griffiths took his tally for the season to 18 with a double to add to goals from Tom Rogic and near beaton. Manager Ronnie Dyla says the result was the ideal response to Thursday's disappointment.
Always important to bounce back, and it's tough mentally to get over Thursday and then be ready for the game on Sunday. We did that in a very good way and scored some nice goals and get 3 points, and of course that's a very, very, very good.
Credit to Ross County, though. They did frustrate Celtic early on and created some chances of their own until Tom Rogic got involved. The Australian midfielder smashed a fine shot into the corner just before the break, and his manager says it was the perfect way to break the deadlock.
Yeah, we had the ball all the time. We didn't create so much. But you know, in the end, when you keep the ball, they get tired and they will get more and more space to score goals. But it's always good to have a player who can beat a man and shoot from distance. So that was a very, very good goal and make it a little bit easier for us in the second half.
Derek, Ronnie Dyle admitted that when he first came into Celtic, Rogic was basically injured for 12 months. He's certainly coming to the fore now. What a strike that was.
Yes, and it was a goal out of nothing. I mean, Celtic had been pressing and pressing. You know, Ross County did all they could do. They got everybody back behind the ball. On the break, they had that Liam Boyce, Hughes pal. He mentioned him on Saturday. He's the one that Celtic would have to watch. What a header. Should have scored with it. But he didn't. And that's the difference between the good teams and the great teams. You know, the great teams will score goals when it matters. And Rogic, you know, out of nothing, 25 yards, goalkeeper never get a sniff of it. And that's what you need. You need midfielders that are going to do that. You cannot rely on Lee Griffiths every week. Although, again, he nips up in the second half and scores two cracking goals again. But you've got to get that first one. That's the all-important one. And he's done that a few times, Rogic, and it was a magnificent strike.
I think if you're Billy Dodds and Jim McIntyre, you have to be deflated by what happened. You know, the 24 hours later, you find out you've got to play Celtic in the semi-final of the League Cup. I repeat, no Scott Brown, the captain, no Chris Commons, the best player, no discovery of the season, Kieran Tierney, who was rightly left on the subs bench to give him a rest. And Celtic, off the back of games in quick succession against the Dundee United, Mulder, Aberdeen, Hearts, their fifth game in a very short space of time, and they still, tired or not, ran over Ross County.
That's the reason that Celtic are going to, and you've suggested they're going to win it by 15 points, because they've got the best squad in the league. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
01419511025. Give us a call. Derek's here, so too is your name again?
Elvis Presley.
There you go. He is in the building.
Certainly all shook up.
Scottish football has a voice. Add yours to the debate on Super Scoreboard. Call now 0141 951 1025. With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team.
I'm delighted to say that on Beat the Pundit tonight, we have Paul Stenton, who is from Glasgow. He's a Celtic fan, and he will be up against Derek Johnson. I'm just looking at that first couple of questions.
Oh, no.
Tricky tonight, Derek.
What is your name?
01419511025. Give us a call. We're here till just before 8 o'clock tonight. It's been a horrible rainy day, so get your frustrations out on us, why not. Here's Jamie in Paisley. Hi Jamie.
Alright guys, how you doing?
Fine Jamie.
Right, it's a bit, I've got a couple of points here if you'll bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The first one is the statement the Rangers put out today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not one apology in it for the small businesses that lost the money when they done what they done. Not one apology. It's just, oh, we done it, so get on with it. Forget, we're going to carry on the same as.
Well, you know the argument to that, Jamie, is when it comes down to money and fines and things like
they
that.
They don't want to know.
No, it's not that they don't want to know. Is that's the old company, isn't it? It's when you got onto sporting issues that
I think
Rangers get
I think
involved.
That's why BDO want to appeal it, because I think what they are trying to do is all these people that lost money first time round, they're trying to give them as much of that money back as they can. That's the reason I think.
Why do you think? I know you've said that you've spoken to people and you think BDO are going to appeal. Why haven't they?
Well, I don't know. You get 28 days. Mm. Whether they've got to submit papers, I don't know, Jerry, is the answer to that. But I mean, why do they give them 4 weeks? Surely after a week, you'll decide whether you're going to appeal or not. I don't know.
Well, Jamie, I'll take you back to this Dave King statement of a couple of years ago where he said, I think somebody needs to apologise. But I'm happy to say that I really believe we should be saying sorry, and I think there is something to be sorry about. And as a former director, when these things were going on, I am minded to do so. So in the past, Dave King has apologised, not today when he is the... owner of the club or the man in charge of the club, but he has in the past conceded that there were things to be sorry about, and he apologised.
I think he's right in the sense, you. If BDO do appeal and they lose it, then I think you're right. That's exactly what will happen. But if Rangers win it, I think that will be it finished.
Jamie, you done?
Right. No, right. See, another point, right. Hugh was saying about Chelsea, right. They spent all this money, blah, blah. It's the same as Rangers. Now, the teams in the SPL did not have the money that the teams in the Premiership have. So how can you compare the two?
Well, very simply, you know, Chelsea are playing teams this season, Stoke City at the weekend, for example, who don't have anything like the money that Chelsea have, but they still beat Chelsea.
But no one's suggesting that Chelsea buy players or pay players in an unfair way.
No, I
can't help but feel you're not getting the point here. The point is,
Jamie.
Right. Chelsea have a fantastic squad playing badly. Rangers, at the time of the EBTs, had a terrific squad who played well and won titles. Mm-hmm. Now, had they done a Chelsea one season and simply failed to show up, then it could have been different. Mm-hmm. My only point is, sporting advantage on one hand, insofar as you are able to entice players to the club or keep players at the club because of this EBT system, but no advantage on the park unless you play well.
But sorry, I don't understand that, Hugh. So what you're saying is you can have an unfair sporting advantage. No.
Insofar as you've assembled a squad which you may not have been able to assemble had it not been for the EBT system.
But you would surely concede that it's possible to have an unfair sporting advantage and still come second, but still have an unfair sporting advantage. Doesn't mean to follow that you're automatically going to win things.
But it just means
you didn't do it well enough.
But you're taking away the element of what happens on the park. I mean, Inverness Cali Thistle put Celtic out of the Scottish Cup last season. Mm-hmm. You can't possibly tell me they're a better team than Celtic.
But if Lance Armstrong takes dopes, which he did, and doesn't win, does that mean he shouldn't be punished because he didn't win?
I'm not saying they shouldn't be punished, but
does it mean he didn't have an advantage because he didn't win?
A personal stance, as I said to you, the language being used by supporters of clubs other than Rangers is that if you don't believe Rangers should be stripped of their titles, then you're dishonest. Now, I will not accept that. I am entitled to my opinion as anybody else's, and for me, yes. At the time when income tax was not paid, it is cheating your fellow citizen. As I said, I pay my tax. I pay towards the building of hospitals, the building of houses for the needy, the upkeep of the police force, the upkeep of the armed forces. I pay my tax. But if you don't, you're cheating your fellow citizen. But if it's a football match, I reserve the right to say that you might not always win the football match.
Well, they only won three titles in that 9 years, you know, if they were that good and had a sporting advantage, you know, they'd have won nine titles. So you're right what you're saying. You can have all the money you want, but it's on the park where you're doing it. I get where you're coming
from.
But
you could also say if they had an unfair sporting advantage, they wouldn't have won those three.
That's ifs, buts and maybes.
Yeah, but you just did that.
No,
with
but I'm
buts
saying,
and
I'm saying if it was a sporting advantage for Rangers, then they should have won the nine of them then. If they had so much money and brought all these players in, why didn't they win all the titles?
But do you not see what I'm saying? If it was also a sporting advantage, they might not have won the three.
Yeah, I get that.
You're right, it is all ifs, buts and maybes. John in Clyde Bank. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, John.
I'm listening to it, and I think that people are missing the point. Lance Armstrong was just mentioned there, they knew. But as Lance Armstrong broke the law, you know, the law of the land, says you're not allowed to take drugs. My point is, I've been at Rangers games, I was at a European tie, I can't remember who it was, but the
John, hold on a second, I don't think the law of the land Lance Armstrong broke. I don't think the police were involved in this. I think he just got stripped of his wins.
I mean, it's illegal to take drugs. But anyway, my point is, Rangers went and reduced the size of the park one day. I'm a Rangers fan. They brought in the wings because the other team had good wing players. We try to gain any advantage within the law that we can. Sometimes teams will go out and wet the grass. because other team play silky fit, but they can't play silky fit on grass.
But there isn't a rule against that, John. There isn't a rule against that.
There isn't a rule against ABTs. There is not a rule against ABTs. You need to understand that. That's my argument.
As things stand at the moment, Rangers have been found guilty of tax avoidance. Now, BDO can take this matter to the Supreme Court if they wish and appeal against that verdict. But as things stand at the moment, and I do understand, as I said on Saturday, we have two lords a-leaping here. We have Lord Nimmo Smith, who said that Rangers had not done anything wrong or gained any sporting advantage. And we have Lord Drummond Young last week, who said, yes, they did have a sporting advantage.
To be fair, Hugh, he wasn't judging sporting advantage. He didn't say that.
He said that off his own back.
He wasn't there to decide.
He said it was fair to assume that players would not have been at the club but for the EVT system.
That doesn't mean that he's saying that they gained a sporting advantage. Yeah. He's just stating a fact that they may have gone elsewhere. To be fair, Hugh, that doesn't necessarily mean Lord Drummond Young wasn't judging whether Rangers gained a sporting advantage or not. That's up for the football bodies to decide. It's not up to the courts to decide that.
Again, that's why I say, at some stage, the football bodies, SFA and SPFL, are going to have to come in here and give the game some kind of guidance. But
Rangers were pushing them to do that in that statement?
Quite rightly, they are waiting, because if BDO go to the Supreme Court, then it becomes, if you like, a live case, and we can't even speak about it, far less adjudicate.
Hello.
Hi, John. Yeah, you're still on.
My point I'm trying to get to you is, Rangers never broke a law. They might have gained a sporting advantage. The new and what's happening in Europe at the moment is, you're only allowed to spend so much money now, whereas before you could spend £1 billion in one season if you were Chelsea. But now they've thought that teams gained such a massive advantage by spending £1 billion that they've brought it in that you can only spend a certain amount of money. If you spend beside that, they fine you. Because what might happen is EBTs might be brought into rules in football, and it might be said you cannot pay players by EBTs, because even at this moment in time, I don't think it's illegal to pay.
John, I think you're slightly missing the point. Football's got nothing to do with EBTs. The only thing football bodies are concerned about is how players are registered and how the paying of players is declared to the football authorities. There's not a suggestion of any EBTs being brought into any rules.
You're saying we went against an advantage. No way about signing of players, that's already been ruled, whether we broke laws by the signing of players, and that ruling by Lord Nimmo Smith was we didn't. We got a small fine for something like that, we seen something in the whole scale of things that was quite trivial.
We're not talking about laws here, John, this is rules we're talking about. It's nothing to do with legality.
My point is, any club, any sporting person will try and gain an advantage where they can, whether they let the grass grow longer, whether they wet the grass, whether they reduce the size of the park. If that's an advantage to their team and they're not breaking any rules or any laws, they will do it.
John, are you a married man, John? You got a family?
Yes.
You pay your tax?
Yes.
Don't you think football players should pay theirs?
100%. In fact, 110%. The players should have paid their tax. That does not mean that me as a Rangers fan should be punished because somebody didn't pay their tax. I could go into a local chippy, and if they don't pay their tax, does that mean that I don't get my fish and chips off them? I don't get punished for it. The person that done it gets punished, not me.
The argument, though, John, isn't about sporting advantage. The argument, because you've mentioned lots of instances there where teams trying to gain a sporting advantage and do. The argument's whether it's fair or unfair. That's where the argument lies. Well, clearly, you've made your opinion, and every opinion is valid at the moment until we get to the very end of this whole saga. Yeah. 0141 951 1025 is the number to get in touch with us.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Beat the pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Still to come, we're going to hear from John Collins. First time we've spoken to him since the whole Chris Commons substitution. He says there is absolutely no rift between him and the player. Beat the pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's time to get off the fence and tell it like it is. Call now on 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team.
You're listening to Monday's Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 is the number to dial. Before we go on any further, Derek, a lot of people pointing out a fact that Ross County didn't wear a poppy on their shirt yesterday as well.
But
so
I said
just
all
to,
the major teams.
So just to clarify that one anyway. Yeah. Right, it's time for a bit of this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Beat the Pundit with Inside Sport in the Scottish Sun. The best news, features and columnists every Sunday.
Right, it's time for Beat the Pundit. Derek Johnson taking part tonight, and he's up against Paul, who is in Glasgow. Hi, Paul.
Hiya.
How you doing? You all right, mate?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Right, I've got 30 seconds on a clock. I've got 10 questions in front of me. You think you can beat DJ?
Hopefully.
Here we go. Your 30 seconds. I've got to take your first answer, remember. If you don't know it, say pass as quickly as you can. Okay, Paul, your 30 seconds begins now. At what ground does Stenhouse Muir play their home games?
All of you.
How many times have Motherwell won the Scottish Cup?
Five.
Which Scottish golfer won the World Golf Championship event in Shanghai yesterday? How many points are Celtic clear of Aberdeen at the top of the league?
Six.
Should actually have said Hearts, but yes. What game was the only one in the Scottish Premiership this weekend which ended in a draw?
Pass.
True or false, Chelsea have lost more league games this season than they have the whole of last season? Which team are top of the constructors' standings in Formula One?
Mercedes.
All right, you stay right there, Paul, and I will get Derek back on the case. Here we go, Mr. DJ. Are you ready for this, Derek? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
No.
You could.
I've had to take my cans off.
Could you not hear me through your headphones?
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Nope.
No? All right, we'll get that sorted, though. But just don't use your headphones. You can just
take them off
just now. Yeah. Right, here we go, Derek. Your 30 seconds on Beat the Pundit begins now. At what ground does Stenhouse Muir play their home games?
Oakleview.
How many times have Motherwell won the Scottish Cup?
Twice.
Which Scottish golfer won the World Golf Championship event in Shanghai yesterday?
Noxie.
How many points are Celtic clear at the top of the league?
Six.
What game is the only one in the Scottish Premiership this weekend which ended in a draw?
Dundee Thistle.
True or false, Chelsea have lost more league games this season than they have the whole of last season?
True.
Which team are top of the constructor standings in Formula One?
Mercedes.
Which English club are nicknamed the Cottagers?
The Cottagers is Fulham.
How many players does it take to be sent off before a match is abandoned?
Four.
Alright, there's your answers. Paul, how are you feeling?
Alright.
So, let's go through them then. At what ground does Stenhouse Muir play their home games? You both got that right, Oakleview. How many times have Motherwell won the Scottish Cup? I think you said, did you say four, Paul, or five?
Five.
Something like that. Derek, you got it right. It was twice.
Oh, that was a guess, to be fair.
Can you hear us now?
I swapped them. Yeah,
which Scottish golfer won the World Golf Championship event in Shanghai yesterday? You said pass, Paul. You said Noxie. The correct answer is Russell Knox.
Knox.
So I'm not giving you that.
Sorry. Exactly, I should think so too.
No, you're not getting that.
This is a man with the All Blacks.
Yeah.
His name's Russell Knox.
Noxie.
Noxie's
a pal of mine.
Noxie's a DJ on Clyde One.
No, Noxie's my pal.
How many points are Celtic clear at the top of the league? You both got that correct. 6 points. What game was the only one in the Scottish Premiership this weekend which ended in a draw? Correct, Derek. Dundee against Thistle. True or false, Chelsea have lost more league games this season already than they did the whole of last season. Incredibly, it's true. They only lost three last year and they've already lost seven this season. You both said Mercedes are top of the constructor standings in Formula One, and you are both correct. And we got further with you, Derek. Which English side club is nicknamed the Cottagers? Fulham, correct. How many players does it take to be sent off before a match is abandoned? The answer is five. I can tell you,
five.
Paul, you did all right, Paul. You got four correct. But I'm afraid you were three behind DJ, who got seven.
Seven.
Ooh. Hard lines, Paul.
Hard lines, Paul. Good effort, son.
Cheers. That was Paul in Glasgow, Paul Stenton. If you wish to be considered for Beat the Pundit, then you got to register. Clyde1.com/
Kivo, how many would you have got there? Would you got most of them?
I'd got about the same as yourself, I would have thought. I made you out of tell a lie. I scribbled down Celtic were 5 points clear instead of six. So I'd have flopped,
it was of course 6 points clear of Hearts, not Aberdeen.
So points clear at the top.
At the top, yeah. But talking of Kivo, I have a poem that's been sent in by our friend John Latimer.
Oh, he's
Poetic
great.
Substance. He's written another poem about you. Ian and Stirling, we're coming to you in a sec, mate. Don't worry. The bitterati, he calls it, now that you've joined the Twitterati. He says, now on social media, digital upheaval succumbed to bitterati in a boot at Kivo. Resident keyboard gangster, infamous panto villain. Almost every call, poor Shuggy gets a grillin'. Blamed for this, lambasted for that. Dial a taxi, wear a magic hat. In the firing line, everything his fault. holding back the tears in his underground wine vault.
And I'll be going there at 8 o'clock, let me tell you.
Can we all join you, please? Is it as big as Dave King's, though?
No, it's not. Question. No.
01419511025 is the number that Ian in Stirling has called. Good evening to you, Ian.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Listen, I know that Waggers, young Waggers, is a good player and all that, and there's probably only a couple of that we have that would still be there after we go into the Premiership next year. But the thing is, there's no talk of money. We're struggling to keep our head up above water. We're 2 million to see us through this season. So I can't see us being in the first four or five for the unless there's money that we don't know about. And therefore, I would say that Celtic won't even employ a better manager next year because he won't really have an awful lot of opposition. And I'm a Rangers supporter. Sorry to be sounding like I am Jolly tonight, but it's really the bare facts. That is it. The one thing I was thinking about, if Celtic had to change the manager, God forbid, being a Rangers supporter, but anyway, if they have to do that, how about a manager that beat a big name club just the other day, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Because he's running on just not a lot of money, obviously, mm-hmm. and his team were he had them laid out the right way to be hitting on the break. So really, guys like that and little money, although that's a bit tongue in cheek.
But I think basically what you're saying, if Rangers do go up, and when you're speaking about the Rangers, but they're going to have to buy better players if they're going to compete. And you're suggesting, you know, where are they going to get the money? If they're needing $2.5 million to see them through to the end of the season, well, certainly, you know, that money will be there, you know, by the Three Bears and Dave King and people like that. That money
but
will
any
be
more
there.
For but, players? But,
well, that's what Ian's saying. Mm. And for Rangers to do well, Rangers with what they've got just now, would be comfortable maybe in the middle of the league. If they want, and Hugh said it 4 or 5 times in this programme, if Rangers are back in there, they've got to be competing at the top. The Rangers fans will want that as well, and I would agree with that. They're going to have to get 4 or 5 players. And again, not players that are going to sit on the bench. It's players that are going to have to go in there and hit the ground running if Rangers are to have any chance.
So would you
season.
Concede that in order to be able to hit the ground running, as you say, and compete, Rangers would have to opt out of the loan market, at least on a couple of occasions?
Well, they still go into the loan market, but it depends what the long-term strategy is. I mean, you're not going to go far if you've got 4 or 5 loan players mm-hmm. because you're never going to have a team.
You need to keep doing that.
They need to keep doing that. I'm not one of these people that reckons they're going to have to spend £10-15 million to get the players in. I think there are players out there, and that's why, you know, they've brought people in now. People are on the last years of their contracts, and this is the ones that you've got to target. The ones where it's not going to cost you the millions. You know, you might get them at the end of the season and they're free, because there are a lot of free transfer people, you know, that are good players, and all you've got to do is pay them the big wage. That's what mm-hmm. they're looking for. So there are players out there, and that's the reason that Rangers have been looking, you know, in the past few months. So they're not going to get £5-10 million to throw away and spend them. They'd love to do that, mm-hmm. but I just don't think that money's there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Dave King will come in and say, no, this team's getting back right away. He did say it was going to take 20 or 30 million, you know, a few months ago, you know, pumped into Rangers to get them back there again. So I would imagine some money will be there, but whether it's that amount, I would doubt.
Rangers' problem would be, Jerry, if at the start of next season, Celtic, in terms of the league title race, started to pull away from them early. The Rangers supporters, I don't think, will tolerate that. They will demand that once Rangers are back, they are back with a purpose. Mm-hmm. So Dave King has spoken a lot about overinvestment and his family's money and how much is going to be devoted to Rangers, so on and so forth. The Rangers supporters, I think, will hold him to his promises big time. Mm-hmm.
You know, in fairness to Matt Warburton, he said it 3 or 4 times in the last 2 or 3 weeks that, you know, any players that he went for, you know, the management, you know, gave it to him. You know, they didn't say, no, we can't get that, that's too much money, or we're not paying him that. They've given him what he's wanted. It may well be a bit different come January and come the end of the season when he's looking for better players. Then that'll be the tester.
Thanks for your call. That was Ian. Ian, do you want to come back in?
Yeah. There's not even any indication of money on the horizon. But I don't think businessmen are not stupid. They're not going to take over something that is definitely going to close up again.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it, you know,
no.
So
Ian, the
they must have their
Rangers,
eye on
the people
somebody,
running
somewhere.
Rangers now know exactly what they're doing. But rest assured of that. That will never ever happen.
Can I say, Derek, my first I saw your debut Ibrox when you scored the goal the last minute. They brought you on, you scored the goal.
My debut?
I think it was.
No,
it wasn't. That was a Celtic game, wasn't it?
I made my debut a month before that against Cowdenbeath at Ibrox. We won 5-0 and I scored twice.
I thought that was your debut.
No, that was my second game. That was my second game.
That was your second debut.
That was my second debut, yes.
Ian, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Ian.
Interesting news today emanating from Spain. David Moyes has been sacked. 42 games in charge, won 12, drew 15, lost 13, 29% win rate, and David Moyes is gone as Real Sociedad manager.
How difficult it can be to adapt to another culture. Mm-hmm. You know, Ian, the caller there, mentioned Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who, as a player, as we all know, scored the Champions League final winner, glittering career at Manchester United, but then came over to Britain to manage and flopped, and is now back in his native country. Davy Moyes has gone to the Basque country. You know, he's found it difficult. I don't know how good his squad was, but the results didn't stack up. So, but you know, he's had the Manchester United experience, not good. Real Sociedad, not good. He'll now be looking for the kind of job that can see him rebuild his image.
It was interesting to you because Guillaume Balague, the man at the Sky you've got for all things Spanish football, I listened to him yesterday and he said yesterday, you know, that this was going to happen. He was back in Britain, but he was flying out to Spain today where he would be sacked. And he was asked the question, you know, why? He says, well, apart from, you know, not getting the results, that's the obvious thing. He says he maybe didn't learn Spanish. Or maybe he didn't speak it enough. Because you're right, the Basques over there, they want everybody speaking the language. And maybe Davey just couldn't get that. Whether that's a point where he got this, I don't know, where he couldn't
I'm pretty sure if he'd won all his games, they wouldn't have cared what language he spoke.
Exactly, absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
They never bothered about Terry Venables when he was managing Barcelona. He was okay.
Next, we're going to hear from John Collins about Chris Commons on Monday's Super Scoreboard.
Football is all a matter of opinions. Call now to share yours on Clyde One's Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025. With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here taking your calls on Monday's Super Scoreboard. Now, today's League Cup semi-final draw is the first chance we've had to speak to John Collins since he was on the receiving end of that much talked about Chris Commons tantrum in Molde. Commons, of course, apologised the next day, and Collins says, as far as he's concerned, that is the end of it.
There was no spat with me and Chris Commons, trust me. And Chris has apologised to everybody at the club, and anybody who's watched us in recent weeks, and Chris could tell that it's in the past. It's the present and the future that counts. So it's finished.
Do you want to take that one here, will I?
There was no spat, but he apologised to everyone at the club. Right. Fine, John. Thanks.
We know John Collins prides himself on maintaining high fitness levels, so you can imagine he wasn't that impressed with Stylian Petrov's assertion the current team's lacking match fitness and sharpness. Petrov made the comments on TV following Thursday's defeat against Molde, but Collins, perhaps unsurprisingly, disagrees.
I don't think it's correct at all. I think we've finished games very well lately. We went down to 10 men. I think that has a little bit to do with fatigue going at the end of the game and having to run over the pitch because they kept the ball well, but I don't think it was anything to do with fitness. You saw with yesterday's performance that there's still plenty of energy and enthusiasm and goals in the team, so apart from the the one disappointing result against Mulder, the league performances in the cup game at Tynecastle. There's been lots of exciting football, lots of chances created, lots of goals scored, so there's lots of positives as well as a little bit of a disappointing result and performance maybe against Mulder.
Do you think Celtic's fitness is a problem? They're certainly playing a lot of games.
Well, Stylian Petrov was the one who said after the Mulder game last Thursday that he felt, having been at Celtic Park and watched the game working for television, that after 60 minutes, Celtic looked heavy-legged and he called their fitness into question. So, as I say, no one will ever accept the word of anybody in the Scottish press. But I think that Stylian Petrov might deserve a fair hearing.
Derek, he was certainly a man that was fit in his day. Certainly a man that had you know, what's known as a great engine.
Yeah, great midfielder, good pass of the ball, great running off the ball, and of course scored goals as well. The ideal midfielder, Stylian.
But what you would say in defence of the Celtic players, they get 5 against Dundee United, 4 against Aberdeen, 4 against Ross County, beat Hearts comprehensively in the last 20 minutes at Tynecastle. So while Stylian Petrov can question their fitness in a European tie, the domestic scene would appear to tell a different story.
I was just going to say that, Hugh. You know, you're playing against, with the greatest respect to the teams in the Premiership, the better teams in our league. So they've been worked harder. Maybe that's why they looked a wee bit tired.
Let's get back to the phones. So you got, guys, get your trunks on. You ready to dive
absolutely
in again?
Yeah.
Here's Jerry in London. Hi, Jerry.
Good evening.
You all right?
I think, as you said earlier on, the word threats seemed to come into the programme. I think a guy phoned in and said that Rangers fans were threatening not to go to certain grounds because they perceived...
I said the possibility might happen,
Well, I think Rangers tried to boycott Tannadice, but that didn't work out. But anyway, my concern about threats is, obviously, people are going to have to decide the decision about EBTs and where it's unfair advantage. I hope it doesn't go back to where it was the last time when Eric Drysdale and Gary Allen, the QC, were threatened. And I think there's even a threat that the late Turnbull Hutton said that even the football ground was going to be torched. I mean, I hope we don't...
Jerry, let's just deal with facts at the moment. And the facts are that the football authorities haven't said they're going to do anything. They're not necessarily have to do anything. You know, the courts are going to decide their side of things and the football authorities will perhaps then decide their side of things. They might do something, they might do nothing, but that's up to them.
The onus rests with BDO, because if they appeal the decision of Lord Drummond Young and his associates, then it goes to the Supreme Court. And I know nothing of these matters, but I'm reliably informed it could take a year for the case to be heard. So until such times as we know that an appeal has or has not been lodged, football can hardly come out and say, right, we've decided to do this, that, or the other.
That's not what I said. There was a preliminary, Skype call or a... conference call the other day. And all I'm saying is the clubs that were involved in that conference call were named then. And all I'm saying is there was parallels when... last time when Alan McCoy went on Rangers TV and basically says that we want these people named, all I'm saying is I hope it doesn't get back down to them sad days.
But it was the SPFL, Jerry, it was the SPFL board that had the conversation. It's not exactly a secret as to who the SPFL board is. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it was leaked to...
But I think the point that Jerry's trying to make is that we don't want to go back to that kind of environment where there were elements... sinister elements, and you thought, oh no. I mean, the game has its problems on the park. We know our problems. Our international team is unsuccessful. Our clubs in Europe, by and large, are unsuccessful. Celtic go further than the rest, but the rest hardly go anywhere at all. So we've got our problems on the park. The last thing we need is civil war within our game off the park.
So do you suggest then that everyone does what Rangers suggested today and just move on?
No, absolutely not. As I've said, for me, the language used in Rangers' statement is high-handed and lacks a conciliatory tone. But we have to wait and see point number one, whether BDO appeal to the Supreme Court. If they do, we're all waiting for a year at least until we find out the outcome of that court hearing. Point number two, if they do not appeal, then the game of football, the SFA and the SPFL, will need to get the finger out, because a long-running saga is not what anyone needs either. If there's a decision to be made, let it be made, and then we'll have to handle the consequences.
Here's Claire, who's in Bellaston. Hi, Claire.
Hello there.
How are you?
Good evening, panel. First-time caller.
Hi, welcome along, Claire.
Please go easy.
Same for you.
First of all, can I say well done to everyone at the Beatson Charity fundraiser on Friday night, which took place in the Hilton. I think the Super Scoreboard, some of the team were there, and it was a fabulous night, so well done to everyone.
Did they make plenty of money, Claire?
Oh, hopefully, Derek, hopefully.
Well, that's good if they've done that. Well done, everybody.
Well, on that note, Derek, when I was there, and you hear that 2 in 5 of us will face problems with cancer and such, like, and you see the great work that Beatsons do, uh-huh. I'm just wondering, in light of fair play and sporting integrity, and there's a group of young boys and girls out there who need role models in football, I'm wondering, what would the panel's view be once the appeal process is exhausted, and if the result remains as it is just now, would it not be better for the personnel who were involved in using these EBTs to set an example to society and the young kids that are involved in football, and basically pay the tax back that was owed? And therefore, these loans and the EBTs and the money could therefore be used by the likes of the NHS.
Well, first of all, Claire, we're presupposing that the judgment of Lord Drummond Young and his associates will stand.
Indeed.
We have to wait to see if that judgment is taken to the Supreme Court. Therefore, no player could do anything about anything until such times as they know where they stand, because it's a serious matter for these players.
Indeed.
They could be pursued for non-payment of tax. So,
I would hope so.
It's a very serious matter. Your idea, in general terms, let's leave aside any club in particular, your idea about football doing more to support the Beatson and the other places like it, the Prince and Princess of Wales Hospice, etc., etc., etc. Of course, football has its place in society. Football draws its income from society. Any opportunity they get to put something back, they should take, and many clubs do.
Claire, the fact of the matter is, though, that if HMRC ultimately do win this case, they will send out a claim for tax. That's just what they're hoping to get to. So that will happen. Whether they go down, you know, go to BDO and try and get some of the cash that's there to pay the tax that will be due, or whether they feel that certain criteria has been met where they can go after the players that have them. You know, they have got their, you know, they've got their procedure that they will follow to try and get the tax back.
Well, hopefully, because the money could be used very wisely, because we're talking millions here, and there seems to be, whether it's Rangers or whether it be some famous personalities, especially down south, etc., and we've heard that they've not been paying their tax, well, there seems to be an absence of remorse, and perhaps actions speak louder than words. So we'll hopefully see, and this will help the NHS and schools and education, and also set an example, because there is moral responsibility, and sometimes it would be good if a good example could be set, and plus it would have a deterrent effect for any other club that was maybe thinking of avoiding paying what they owe as such. But thanks very much for your time, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Claire, anytime.
Thank
cheers,
you.
Cheers, that's Claire in Bayliston giving us a call on 01419511025. I always like it when a lady calls.
Yes.
Because it reminds our audience that it's for everyone.
But you've been like that all through your life. You love
it.
Well,
like it when
lady
the ladies
calls.
Call. Unfortunately, all through my life, I've not had a lot of ladies call. However, that's another story. Here's Thomas in London. Hi, Thomas.
Different during the war, boy.
During the war. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
All right, Thomas. How are you?
I'm good. I'd like to make a point and ask a question about this argument that's now getting trotted out every 2 minutes, it seems to me. It's like a kind of default argument that's been used. That it was 11v11 and the game was played on the park. Now, it's firmly established in Scottish football that you receive sporting sanctions for matters that take place off of the park. Dunfermline were docked 15 points for going into administration. They won those points on the park. They lost them. Mm-hmm. Dundee were docked 25 points. They won them in the park. They lost them. Livingston were actually docked 5 points for not paying tax. Now, those points were won on the park, and they lost them in Spartans, if you remember this.
Yep.
Won a Scottish Cup game 2-0. And because they didn't write a date twice mm-hmm. on a contract, that result, which happened on the park, 11-11, was overturned. So, is Hugh and Derek, are they actually saying that those punishments were wrong because the games were won on the park?
No, I'm not saying that the punishments were wrong, and I'm not saying that Rangers may not yet face additional sanctions. What I am saying is that at some point, it's not about what I say or Derek or Jerry or anyone else says or writes. At some point, when we know what we're dealing with, in other words, when we know if Rangers, or rather BDO, have appealed to the Supreme Court, at some point, football will have to guide the game through this crisis. Because
okay, and I agree with that. But when that moment comes, it should be based on principle, correct? And the principle surely is, if you use illegal means to gain a sporting advantage, you should receive a sporting sanction.
But it will have to be established, as I say.
To be fair, Thomas, we're not talking legality here, so it's not illegal.
No,
all right.
Tax evasion is illegal. They've been found guilty of tax evasion.
No. They've not been found guilty of tax evasion. This isn't illegal. If it was illegal, the police would be getting involved, Thomas. It's not illegal.
It's illegal in terms of tax. That's what we talk about.
It's not illegal in terms of the law.
Of
that's
course
what,
it
that's
is.
What, that's what legal means.
No. There's legal tax avoidance.
Well,
and it's illegal to be guilty of tax evasion.
If you are very keen on legalities being observed, then, Thomas, you will understand that until such times as the Supreme Court have been asked to adjudicate on this matter, then the whole question of sanctions, which should or could or should not or could not be imposed, is redundant.
But I think Thomas has got a point here, that when you were talking about that Rangers shouldn't be stripped of titles because they still had to be won on the park 11-11, Thomas's argument and the evidence he's given you is that that's kind of irrelevant. The 11-11 argument could be completely irrelevant.
Every single sporting occasion where someone has been stripped of a title took place either on a park or on a racetrack or on an athletics track. I mean, it's absolutely illogical to suggest that because it took place on the park, you cannot then be stripped of a title. It makes no sense.
Well, I offer you one man's opinion. There are Celtic players who say they're not interested in anyone being stripped of titles. What's done is done, so far as they're concerned. There are other Celtic players who say, no, I think I was cheated out of a title and I'd like
it. But it's not about players, Hugh. Celtic is a football club. It's not about these individual players play for a football club. Celtic are a football club. Rangers are a football club. The teams, Queen of the South, are a football club. The teams who lost to Rangers in the cup finals, Dundee United, are a football club. Whether any of those players want those titles is irrelevant. My personal opinion is, I don't think they should be given to anyone else. I just think they're struck from the record because what happened was that there was a competitive advantage, which, can I just make one tiny point to you about something you said earlier, Jerry? It was Mr. Black at the tax tribunal who said, gave evidence, we don't know who he is because they kept the names hidden. He's been involved with Rangers for 20 years. He said, as far as Rangers was concerned, it enabled the club to attract players who would not otherwise have been obtainable. That was evidence on behalf of Rangers.
Again,
at the tax tribunal.
Again,
the
clubs.
He's a smoking gun.
Yeah, again, the clubs, once this matter is finally resolved and we know whether Lord Drummond Young and his associates' verdict stands or whether the Supreme Court have another verdict in mind, once all of that has been decided, then and only then can any club who has a sense of grievance do something about it.
Thanks for your call, Thomas. That was Thomas in London. We've still got about 15 minutes or so of this to go, if you're up for it. Yeah?
Yep. Here we go. A glass of wine tonight. Hugh, what do you think?
It'll take more than that.
Football is
is all a matter of opinions. Call now to share yours on Clyde One's Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill. Online, on mobile, on the high street.
If I had a little button here or something to press that went woo woo woo, I would press it just now, guys, because guess what?
What?
We've got a call about football.
Press it. Press the button.
We've got a call about football.
Press the button. 3, 2, 1. Woo 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 woo.
We've got a call about football. Yes. Here's John and Mary Hill. Hi, John.
Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
Good, John. What's your point?
Something like you there. I noticed when the Stuart Armstrong, what a fuck after he is. He goes forward. Oh, boy. And the Mackay Stephen. Those two guys are flying. And see when you two guys are doing it in Celtic, they're buzzing. When they're doing one attacking doing the left and attacking doing the right. And I think Celtic, when these two boys are playing going forward, Celtic are some team, I tell you. I'll long may continue.
Gary Mackay Stephen was on the bench yesterday, John.
He came on. One to two of them are playing together. One down left, one down the right. I mean, that's what got me, James Forrest. They've got a lot going forward. The point is to get the ball through to Griffiths. And they're doing that. But the defence, see so many colour guys at the back, they're no streetwise. They're too slow. See, I listened to Hugh the other night there. They were right in that first goal and against Mulder. The guy was able to kill the ball and then trap it and then pick a spot. No tackle going in, nobody closing down. No pace at the back, nobody closing down, nobody man marking. Shocking defensive. I wonder what they're going to do about that.
Well, for me, the matches against Ajax and Fenerbahce in the Europa League are so important for Ronnie Dyla. You know, a tired Celtic side, by Ronnie Dyla's own admission, a tired Celtic side go to Dingwall, which ought to have been a far tougher match than it was, but Celtic rose above their own fatigue and simply did a number on Ross County, thereby proving again that domestically they're untouchable, but in Europe they really have to raise their game.
It was interesting you reading about Frank de Boer and the papers. They drew with Feyenoord away from home on Saturday. They still stay at the top of the Eredivisie, Ajax, and they're playing a lot better than they were, he says, 4 or 5 weeks ago, because I thought they were poor.
Yeah.
For an Ajax side, I mean, we've all known them being great footballers from the right back to the left winger. Everybody can play, but it's a different Ajax team these days. The quality, I don't think, sir, but he says they're coming into this game at the right time, and he knows anything less than 3 points at Celtic Park, and they're out of it.
Well, I don't know how you'd second guess this, because I thought that Celtic had the ability to beat Mulda home and away, and they get nothing out of it. So I'll wait until nearer the time when they play Ajax, see who's fit, who's available, and see how Celtic are doing then.
Thanks, John. That's John and Mary Hill. Here is Eddie in Clydebank. Are you an Eddie or an Edward?
I'm an Eddie. Jerry, thanks for taking my call. I'm afraid it's back to EBTs again.
All right, okay.
Jerry, I'm going to read out a passage from the first tier tribunal, which the call a couple of fellas before me was he stole my thunder a little bit. But just for all these people that think the Rangers players would have signed anyway, I'm just going to destroy that myth for them.
Which Cluedo character was this said by on the FTT?
I think it was also Mr. Black,
Was it in the conservatory with the candlestick?
Well, I'll tell you what, he did it with EBTs, but I'll read the passage out. Characteristically, the prospective players and their agents focused on a net figure. This could be maximised via the trust mechanism, and moreover, could only be afforded by the club that way. Now, if you don't understand the full implications of that, essentially, the players went in and said, I want X amount of pounds in my pocket. It's up to you, work out how you're going to get there. Typically, if a player wants £1 million a year in his pocket, you need to budget for two. If the club doesn't have £2 million, then they obviously have to come up with a different way of doing it, and that's where the EBTs come in. So essentially, the bigger the EBTs, the bigger the gap between what the player wanted and what Rangers could afford. Just to show you how the EBT money worked in action, I'm going to give you some very quick stats, because I know we're at the end of the show. Celtic season 2004-2005, Rangers signed a dozen players. EBTs, but there's the two I want to mention. Dado Prusso, 1.9 million in tax-free cash, 18 goals. Nacho Novo, 1.2 million, tax-free cash, 19 goals. Rangers only scored 78 goals that season, so those two fellas scored almost half of Rangers' goals, 3.1 million in tax-free cash. That 3.1 million was the difference between what Rangers could actually afford and what these players wanted.
I don't dispute a single word of what you've said there, Eddie, but how do you respond to my argument that when it is on the park, like Chelsea this season, no matter how much you get paid, no matter how much you cost, football matches still have to be won. And as we know from the Beat the Pundit contest earlier on, Chelsea have now lost more matches this season so far than they did in the whole of last season.
I see where you're coming from, and you're right in the sense that, you know, 11v11, you get what you get at the end of it. But the reality is, Hugh, these players would never have been on that park. Rangers would have had to assign another player instead who they could actually afford. And money talks. You know, these players would not be of the same quality.
Yeah, I accept that, and I've made the point several times over that, so far as I'm concerned, I think there was an advantage insofar as the gathering of the squad was concerned. But I go back to my point about Chelsea. You can gather the squad, you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. Chelsea have lost more games so far this season than all of last season. I mean, isn't football supposed to be about unpredictability?
Yeah, I agree, Hugh. But, you know, see, the problem is that we're back to the same old circular argument. These players would never have been at Rangers, regardless of what they say after the fact years later. They would never have been in that squad. Those two players I mentioned who scored half of Rangers' goals that league season, £3.1 million Rangers had to come up with to get these players, you know, £3.1 million tax-free to get these guys on the books so they could score all the goals they did. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't have signed other players that would have scored as many goals. There is no certainties in this, but I'll tell you what, Hugh, I doubt they would, because they would have got lesser players who would have scored less goals. And I believe, and it is just my belief, that Rangers would not have won the league by 1 point that season.
All right, Eddie, thanks. That was Eddie in Clydebank. Here's Alec in Garthamlock. Hi, Alec.
It's Alec in Parkhead, Jerry.
Oh, are we still no updated that?
Right, obviously.
Right, we're doing it as we speak. There you go. It now right, says on right. my screen, Alec in Parkhead. Actually, right, it does,
good,
Parkhead.
Good stuff. Right. It's just a couple of, well, the first one's just a quick one. The biggest issue, see with the EBTs, I'm not going to get into it because I've not got a clue, but see if it does get turned out that they did something wrong, and if the titles get overturned or whatever, Celtic will have won, what, 12 in a row? And that's the biggest issue with the Rangers fans. That will stick in their throat, and it'll please
fair,
me,
Alec,
I'll take them.
To be fair, Alec, most football fans who are behind this whole title stripping thing, from what I've read, don't want the titles given elsewhere.
Well, I'll take them. I'll take the Celtic. I don't care what Neil Lennon's seen at the end. I'll take them.
All right, Alec, anyway, move on.
Right, back to the football. Obviously, the Celtic game, I watched it yesterday, and obviously, I was really disappointed. I'm not again with the Boone at the beginning, but I thought that the defence, we were shocking again. Now, I know we won 4-1, but I tell you what, see if Ross County would have took their fair share of the chances, it would have been completely different. And I don't understand why wait till after the Ajax and Fenerbahce game. We've not got an earthly at getting through. So it's quite clear. The guy's got to go. I listened to the show on Friday and I tried for about 2 hours to get on it. My two mobiles going and my house phone trying to get on.
Two mobiles, Alec?
Right. I had my wife say. People were saying that we should sack the back room and keep Ronnie. Mm. And people were saying that, I don't know, I must be seeing something different to what my fellow Celtic fans are seeing. The guy's no good at it. John Kennedy's not going to, and there's John Collins. And we're going to finish bottom of this group, for as much as I hate saying it, we're going to finish bottom. And where does that leave us? You know what I mean?
Well, it leaves the club with a question to answer. What the Celtic mean now? You've got people who say, well, we're not Champions League anymore, we're Europa League standard. Okay. When this group finishes, if it proves that you're not Europa League standard, then where are you? And what do you intend to do about it? And that is a question that Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell have to answer, because I don't believe that Celtic have made the advances that they should and could have done while Rangers were sent to the bottom tier of Scottish football. And I don't believe the squad is anything like as good as the Celtic supporters thought it would be in the months leading up to Rangers' return to the top flight beside Celtic.
can I come back in again?
Mm-hmm.
See, obviously, I know where all the focus is in Europe, right? It's quite clear Rangers are going to come up next season. And I don't trust Ronnie Dyla. I know we'll win the league, but I don't trust Ronnie Dyla going head-to-head against... It's not going to be a strong Rangers team next year, but it is maybe the following year. But I don't trust Ronnie Dyla against Rangers. I don't trust him because maybe John Collins has got a bit of history and John Kennedy. That goes for nothing. The freedom, the girth, they just don't work. They don't work.
All right, All right, Alec, thanks for your call, mate. Cheers, Alec. That's Alec in Parkhead. And he finishes us off tonight on Super Scoreboard. Thanks to everyone.
Speaking about football anyway, to finish with. That
thanks
was nice.
Everyone.
That was nice.
What's football? What's football? Mm-hmm. Is it a game played by 11 against 11 on a pitch? It is. Thanks to Derek. Thanks to Hugh. They disappear into their respective wine
pubs.
Cellars until they're seen again on Friday at 6 o'clock. I, however, will be back tomorrow. And in the chairs opposite me will be Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun and Gordon DL.
Good luck, lads.
Absolutely.
A fine body of men.
We mentioned EBTs tonight, and I think we may have got away with it. Oh, I'm not too sure. Keep it on Clyde One. Fiona's up next.